Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod. Porpoise Pod. It's a podcast with a purpose.
All dolphins.
All the time.
Touchdown!
Now, here's your host,
Brendan Tobin
and Alejandro Solana.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Porpoise Pod. Brendan Tobin here with you alongside my porpin co-host, Alejandro Solana. Man, it's the offseason, dude. It's a little bit sad. We got playoffs coming up, and the Dolphins aren't in anymore. Moves are happening. How are you feeling, man? Are you back from Buffalo?
Yeah, finally. I'm starting to reflect on the season. I don't know how you feel, but the more and more I think about it, I'm still frustrated about the way that they lost, but I am feeling hopeful for the future. You know, I the more and more I'm reflecting on the season, I tend to take away more positives than I do negatives when you kind of balance everything that went on. So, I mean, it sucks. I wish I was going to Kansas City this weekend. I wish Tua was healthy, but yeah, it is what it is, right? I mean, they got into the playoffs, something that we haven't done in 6 years. So I can still appreciate that.
Yeah. I think our initial feelings when it happened was right. I feel like, you know, getting in was important. I felt like it put a nice bow on a season that was mostly good. That certainly had a disappointing ending to it, a disappointing last month and a half. But getting in and showing the performance that they did, I thought was important. I thought they took good steps. And I think for a mostly young team, I think it's important. I think the only thing that's unfortunate is that your young quarterback didn't get a chance to be in that kind of a game with heavy stakes. But Jaylen Waddle, we saw, had a bit of the yips early on, kind of got it going. You know, Christian Wilkins gets that experience. Zach Sealer gets that experience. Holland gets that experience. So I think all in all, that stuff, McDaniel gets that experience, quite frankly. So all of that stuff is very positive from the standpoint of at least getting in and really showing the guts. They showed the guts. They did, you know, and you know, the Bills got lucky. Let's be honest. They got lucky. And they're waltzing in there this week against Cincinnati. And I don't know. I feel like they're going to get smoked. I really do. I feel like the jig is up on them.
Me too, man. Me too. If I took away anything from that game, it's that Josh Allen, he's not ready for the prime time yet. He's not ready for the big time, Tobin. He's not ready for it. And I know all the, you know, on YouTube, all the Bills fans come over to our pod and they try to take any sort of motivation that they can. Take this right here. You're Josh Allen, you guys have second or third round loss written all over you again this season. I mean, if Skylar Thompson could put up 31 on you, just wait. Just wait.
I'm with you, dude. But no, I'm with you. All in all, it was a good season and disappointing ending. And I think it's a fascinating offseason we're going into. It's crazy thinking about where we were a year ago because we were stunned by the Flores news. I don't quite remember when he dropped the lawsuit. It wasn't very far after the surprise.
Right.
But that really, you know, set up what was a wild offseason for Miami that led to Mike McDaniel. And I don't feel like it's going to be quite as dramatic, although obviously we'll get into the news of the day in just a bit. But this, I feel like they could just tweak some things rather than what's going to be a monster overhaul.
This time last year, I think we were all saying Harbaugh.
Yep.
Like that's kind of where everybody thought immediately the Dolphins were going that direction. Remember, McDaniel doesn't get hired for a while last year. Like he was one of the last head coaching vacancies to get filled. The Dolphins were with Mike McDaniel. I think the Flores lawsuit may have had something to do with it as well. But I'm with you. I think this offseason, I heard Crowder say today that it's maybe Chris Greer's most important offseason. I mean, you could argue that every year, right? So I don't put too much stock into which one's his most important offseason. But I will say, Tobin, considering the cap situation, considering the fact that you feel like you're there, you feel like you're on the cusp of a contending team, right? Like you could make the argument that this one's as important as ever in terms of you're almost there. Now you have to figure it out one more step and complete this build. And that could be the hardest step really to get to.
I see where you and Crowder are coming from. First of all, I don't think Chris Greer is ever getting fired. I feel like he's the Teflon Don. He's got job security forever in Dolphins land. And what has been a turnstile of change in this franchise, he stays strong. I don't know. I mean, you know, I honestly feel like it comes so much down to, is their QB going to be healthy? Is he going to recover from this okay? Can all the Dolphins deal with it? Can the owner deal with the noise of this offseason? Because I thought that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, Mike after the game, Chris on the Monday after, I thought they both came out very strong with support for their quarterback, which I liked. It's just a matter of, can Stephen Ross just go with that narrative? Can he just go forward and not listen to Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Derek Carr? Like, can he just ignore the ghost? And can they have the faith in this guy who I acknowledge has durability problems and has had many of things flare up for him? Can they get past that and stay the course, to steal a Spo term, and feel like if he is good, we'll be good, and that this is going to be a divisional contender and a team that can make a little bit of a playoff run next year?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of it, you had brought this up to me a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Tua maybe coming back after the concussion against Green Bay, how much Stephen Ross's age plays into this. 82, 83 years old. He's, and to be fair, he's invested a lot of resources, a lot of money into this organization. He wants to see it all come to fruition. He wants to see it all pay off.
Absolutely.
So I think also an element to this is not only durability with Tua, but the backlash that will come with him being your starting quarterback next season if he goes down again.
Sure. Because
it's a PR nightmare. Even if it's week 17 next season, right? Tua plays 16 weeks, no head injuries. He plays well. Dolphins are happy with the decision. But week 17, Tua goes down with a concussion beyond the football narrative questions, right? Which is, here we go again. He's going to miss the most important part of the season. Again, beyond that, it becomes now this huge moral scandal where CNN and all the major outlets on top of the sports world have a microscope on you once again, questioning your commitment to player safety by allowing Tua to go out there. So I think that plays a huge part in this situation, because while Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel may be doing what I thought they were going to do, by the way, which was come out and just show a strong support for Tua Tagovailoa, how much is this organization committed to having to deal with that, where every time he takes a hit, it's not just, oh no, is he going to be okay? Oh no, what do we do now in terms of a replacement? It's, hey, do you guys care about this guy? Because you keep putting him out there.
It's not only that, but it's like, you know, now it's like you don't know what hit it is anymore. It's very obvious when he's wobbling. It's obviously very obvious when he's getting stretched off the field. It's not so obvious when dude on Twitter just finds him. And now everything is going to be broken down to be the guy who can find the hit. And then can you really analyze Tua games anymore? Or do we all have to take it with a caveat? Well, maybe he was concussed in that game. It's weird. I was talking to, we had Gilbert Burns on today, who is a UFC welterweight, and he's a big Dolphins fan. He's become a very big Dolphins fan, been a South Floridian for a very long time, but he obviously gets hit in the head for a living. And he was very, we had him on. It's funny having him on. We've had him on twice pretty recently. We had him on very recently after the Cincinnati thing. And he was like, it's going to be fine. He's going to, you know, hyperbaric chamber. He had all these methods. And then we had him on today and he goes, I got to be honest with you. Now I'm kind of nervous. And like, I think we should go get Tom Brady. And, you know, he's not like a guy in the nitty gritty of it all. He's, you know, obviously trying to get to a UFC title and all that. So he's just kind of watching from the outskirts. And he's just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I trust, you know, this whole thing with it. He honestly was like, I think he should take a lot of time off, which he thankfully has. I mean, technically you could have Tua not take a hit for 9 months if you wanted to, the way they went, you know, the way they could go about it. But yeah, it's a big question. For me, it's the biggest question. You know, I think for everything else, you know, additions on the O-line, cool. Christian Wilkins getting his extension, cool. Gesicki back or not, cool. But this is the biggest thing. It's hard to, and I know it, you know, and I'm not saying it's a hard decision. I believe in the guy. I want to see him do good, but I think it really does come down to that. Are the Dolphins going to be good next year? Okay, tell me how many games Tua plays. That's what I feel like it comes down to. Yeah. And I think that probably annoys some fans and maybe doesn't sit well with some fans, but I genuinely feel that way. I just feel like if he is good to go and he can give you, you know, hell, 14 games next year, I feel like the Dolphins are in such a better place than they are than they are if you only can get 12 from him.
I've seen the argument from both sides where I've seen somebody say, I'm not going to trust Tua being our franchise quarterback until he can play 2 to 3 seasons and complete them without getting hurt. Then mm-hmm. I will have the trust. Well, nobody has time to wait 3 seasons from now, first and foremost. But I've also seen the other argument, which is this isn't a knee injury. This isn't his hip injury that's flared up again. You know, it is possible that Tua plays every season now for the next, or sorry, every snap for the next 8 seasons of his career and doesn't suffer another concussion. Like, that is possible, right? This isn't a shoulder injury where every time he gets hit on the shoulder, he's going to feel that pain and it may keep him out. This isn't, you know, whatever. It's not a muscle. It's not a tendon. So it is very hard to navigate because Tobin, like, you just don't know. He could play next season and the following and the following and not suffer a concussion. Like, he could get hit and it just doesn't affect him that way because it's so random, I think, at this point. So, I'm just glad I don't have to make the decision, bro, because I don't know what I would do. I'm with you. I like Tua. I think this season we had the most fun we've had watching Dolphins football in forever. He was the most vital part of that, him and Tyreek Hill. And I think you saw this season, if he's healthy, you can be a legitimate force just absolutely based off what you saw. Like, I'm with you there, and I want him to succeed. We said it. We like him. Everybody's saying, man, he's such a good kid.
Yeah, but he is a good kid. I can't help it. He's just so adorable. I just want to pinch his cheeks.
But can he stay healthy? I don't know. I can't answer that question. So, I don't mind the Dolphins doing their due diligence and looking for a replacement if it's an upgrade. Miss me with the Brady stuff. Like, I'm sick of it. Miss me with the Derek Carr stuff. I'm sorry. Like, look at this guy's numbers this year. And you can talk about the injuries to the Raiders. Like, to me, paying Derek Carr what he's going to have to get paid isn't worth it because he's not like a major upgrade. So you want to talk to me about Lamar? Fine. You want to talk to me about Aaron Rodgers? If you can make the numbers work, I don't think you could. But if you could, fine. But you want to talk to me about Derek Carr and Tom Brady? Jimmy
or Garoppolo.
G?
Yeah.
Yeah, get out.
Lamar Jackson is legitimately the only guy I would be like, all right, I'm excited. Like, I Lamar's an awesome. It's a cool story. Yeah. He's elite. He's won an MVP. I get the concerns there too. Don't get me wrong. Lamar's not without his own concerns. Most of them physical.
Hasn't finished a season in 3 consecutive seasons. Hasn't been healthy at this point of the season. It's the same thing.
He's got his own issues for sure. But at least if you did that, I would be like, all right, I respect the home run cut. I respect at least you're going to go. You don't know about the knees. You're hopeful that you can roll the dice. And we know Chris Greer is a guy who basically admitted this week. He's like, I don't, you know, injury concerns. I'm going to go for talent. That's what I go for. So Yeah, I'm with you, dude. If it's gonna happen, you better go get me a superstar, because you know Tua is a star. Like, I think that it's there's still proof, there's still stuff that's there's still meat on that bone that has to get figured out. But you know, as far as national relevance, the Dolphins have never been more nationally relevant. It's not because of Tyreek Hill, although he helps, but it's Tua, and I do think, you know, Dolphins on a wait list for the first time in a long time for season tickets. I think that's because of Uno. I think that's because of him. So it's an interesting thing, but we will take a break here on the Porpoise Pod. When we come back, the news of the day. Dolphins making a little switch on the coaching staff. Josh Boyer giving his walking papers. We get into that on the Porpoise Pod. Swimming on after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Porpoise Pod swimming on here. Tobin and Solana, first edition of the off season as we have gathered round. Picked a good day to record this, Solana, as we got the news today. Josh Boyer was handed his walking papers. He is no longer defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. How surprised are you this is the move that Mike McDaniel went with?
Boyer had his stuff packed. before the Buffalo trip, he had his entire office set up to go before the Buffalo trip. I can assure you that. Remember his comments, his last media availability before Buffalo or before the Jets, when it wasn't certain if the Dolphins would make the playoffs. I remember him saying, like, he got into a long response from one of the media members, basically saying, like, I'll be fine. You know, whatever happens, happens. I'll land on my feet. And it didn't even sound like he was saying it out of spite. He was just saying, whatever happens, happens. I think the writing was on the wall. No matter what the Dolphins defense did, I mean, they kept you in that game against Buffalo.
Right.
McDaniel wants to pick his own guy.
Yeah.
Period.
I think,
end of story.
I'm with you. I think that has more of it to do than anything. And I don't even fault them for going the direction they did. He was a young head coach. He was taking over a team and going to call the plays on offense. So he's adjusting to a new job and a new responsibility because he didn't call plays in San Francisco, and you had a defense that you believed in the talent and you were keeping most of it around. I actually think it was a pretty sound idea to keep him around. But yeah, if it didn't take a step forward and it kind of took a step back, some of it based on injuries, we all kind of saw it coming. I don't think that this little rally at the end was going to save him. I mean, unless they were going to turn into, like, you know, the Killer Bees or something like that by the end of it. And he was going to have, you know, Kim Boakiver's giant forearms, you know, shutting everybody out. I'm fine with it. I think that it mostly just comes down to, yeah, let Mike McDaniel pick his guy, let him pick his staff. And I think that if, you know, some of the rumors of Vic Fangio are true, That's an upgrade. The guy's a good defense coordinator.
Thanks, dude. Baby. I'm with you. And to be fair, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know everything about Vic Fangio. I just love calling him Fangs.
Me too.
So I'm 100% in. Tobin, there's a play that stands out to me. And we were talking about it today on the show. You're in LA and it's 3rd and 17. Third and goal, but the Chargers are backed up on the 17-yard line, and he puts the entire secondary on the goal line, and the Chargers run a play, and he doesn't recognize what's coming. It's like a little shovel pass or a screen pass. They end up getting to, like, the 4-yard line, so now they're in position to go for it on fourth down right before the half, and they end up scoring a touchdown. Sometimes things just run its course. I think Mike McDaniel walked into the locker room after that play, after that series, and said, this guy's gone. Like, yeah. That can't happen. Some that can't go down at this point of the season at it versus this team in LA. It just can't happen. So I had a feeling this defense underperformed for most of the season. And I think I had told you, I felt like a lot of people were using Boyer as a scapegoat. Like, oh, fire Josh Boyer. That'll fix everything. And to me, it doesn't make sense. I'm not pinning the 5-game losing streak on the defense or Boyer. But I just think if you had to grade one, if you had to grade Boyer and the defense throughout the season, you're not giving them higher than a B-. And that's me being nice.
Well, you're grading on a curve too, because of all the injuries. That's why, like,
true.
You're giving him somewhat of a pass because he had to deal with Brandon Jones and Agba and Byron Jones and all these guys being out. I just think that if you're Mike McDaniel and you were saying, hey, let's just try this out. But if you want, I'm sure it was even a discussion like, hey, like if you don't like this the first year, you can make a change. And, you know, we had the whole thing with bro, get it effing fixed. And there was that leak from my Barry Jackson that said he didn't even do anything. He just popped his head in the meetings. Like, you don't like that leaking out. And I think that doesn't leak out if not everybody there is if everybody there is your guy, it's probably more of a tight knit ship. So, yeah, I think it's only natural. And I think that for him, I think if you're Mike McDaniel, you look at it and say, like, this guy was fine. He wasn't anything special. You know, we get it. You're aggressive. You like to blitz. But I think also you probably look and say, my owner will spend on anybody. If I can go get a guy with the experience of Fangio or whoever, they're going to come here. This isn't like Daryl Bevel, who's turning down Commanders and Jets jobs because it's a lame duck situation with bum quarterbacks. What defensive coordinator who does have credentials wouldn't want to come to a situation with a team that was in the playoffs that has all of this talent? And that's the thing that I think you look at, you're like, the individual talent we look around, Wilkins and Chubb and JP and Sealer and Xavier Howard healthy and Holland. Like, if you're a defensive guy, how do you not look at this and say, oh, this is a great gig? So I think that also goes into it. It's not only that I could get my own guy, but I feel like I have a good situation that's going to be attractive because, one, I have a lot of talent, and two, I have an owner that will spare no expense.
You have an undrafted rookie cornerback who was arguably the best cornerback on the team this season, and you have Xavier Howard. Like, I mean, you literally, all those guys you mentioned, and then some, and then you're getting back Brandon Jones, who was having a breakout season.
Yep.
Who knows if Nick Needham will be back. I know, you know, I mean, nobody's jumping out of their chair for Nick Needham, but he's another solid guy.
Solid.
Yeah, he's a guy you want. He's the third quarterback you want on your roster to kind of just carry you through games. I'm with you, man. Like, who wouldn't look at this situation and be like, sign me the bleep up right now to go be in Miami and really like a fun head coach. Doesn't look like he's going to be in your face grilling you. Just like an easy work environment, you know, with Mike McDaniel.
I like the idea of him and Fangs together, though. I feel like Fangs is the opposite, you know, because if you're like, you know, if you're the hipster, cool young guy, Fangs is trying to tell you some old school football ways. That's how that goes.
He's coming with the wisdom.
Mike McDaniel, excuse me. Shame on me for getting that wrong.
Wow.
Mike McDaniel said in his release, he says, I'm grateful for Josh's contributions this year and throughout his tenure with the Dolphins. The defense made strides through the season, so coming to the decision was not easy. Why? But ultimately, I feel it was the best in the long-term interest of the Miami Dolphins and the continued growth of our players and team. End quote.
And, Boyer, all your little, your crew.
Hit the bricks, too.
Yeah, hit the bricks, dude. All of you.
Besides Boyer, did you feel like, I don't know if you saw Mike Gesicki's letter. Yeah. Did you feel like he was basically saying goodbye?
Yeah, he knows he's gone too.
Yep.
He knows his time in Miami is donezo. And the weird one was Morstead. Do you see Morstead?
Kind of. What did, you know, what's, I kind of half read it because he's a punter, like, who cares? But what did he say, like, that stood out to you?
It was very Gesicki-esque, where it was this big thank you to the Miami fan base and the community and the coaching staff and the trainers. And he said, I don't know, basically, I don't know what the future holds, but I always hold this time in Miami you know, very close to my heart, or something along those lines. I don't remember word for word, but it just sounded like he was saying a goodbye almost.
And
it's like, hey, Morstead, relax. We like you. Like, you're not Gesicki. We like you. We want you to stick around, bro.
It is funny. I don't know who, like, I've seen many people say this on Twitter. It's like, once you know the iPhone notes come out, you know it's over.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, you know what? It's not, nobody has a stationery anymore. It's just like, let me write this out on my iPhone, put this out there.
Then and two pages. And it's not perfect. It's four screenshots. And right. It's like, I don't want to read all that. You're right. You're a punter. Why am I reading all this?
Oh, the first page of Gesicki's, I was like, ugh, all right. I came down here and I first caught a pass against the Titans. I'm like, all right, dude. And thanking Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, enough of him already. Grow up.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, that being said, if you do come back rooting for you, dude, like, that's, you know.
That's our guy. That's our guy.
That's our guy. But he's not coming back.
No shot.
He's going to be a Patriot.
Oh, he has New England or New York Jet written all over him.
It's going to be very annoying.
All over him.
Very annoying. We're going to say, can't block for bleep. And we're going to laugh at him when Christian Wilkins just throws him over his shoulder.
I do want him in the AFC East, because it will give him two opportunities to rip McDaniel next year. And I so want that. I so want that. Just, you know, let's get a little bad blood going here if we can. Make it interesting. Yeah,
little Fuski. Let's get it going. Look, he was a good. It is, in all honesty, I don't feel like he's leaving on bad terms. While I don't feel like he was thrilled, he did play the good soldier. He didn't do much of the ripping in the media. He did say out the door after the season, he goes, "What am I looking for? I'm looking for an opportunity." But it's one of those where I feel like everybody just acknowledges, like, he doesn't play to the coach's style, and, you know, he's looking for a better fit. They're both looking for a better fit. That's okay. Sometimes it doesn't work. And I think for the most part, he's a pretty popular Dolphin. People liked Mike Gesicki. They dug Mike Gesicki. I could have done without him, you know, kissing Fitzpatrick's ass on the way out. But other than that, you know, pretty solid guy.
Yeah, no, I don't have any. Truthfully, no, I don't think anybody has any bad blood with Mike Gesicki. I guess you could be the guy that says, hey, if you would have learned how to block, if you would have put more effort into blocking, but bro, he's a wide receiver. You can't just one training camp become Durham Smythe and Alec Ingold. It doesn't work that way. Like, he's a wide receiver, period.
And not only that, it's like you either have that in you or you don't, I feel like, because he's a big guy. I mean, he's very intimidating looking. If you've ever been near Mike Gesicki, but it's just not his deal. That's not his game. I don't know why he can't be George Kittle. I don't know why he can't be Travis Kelce, but he can't.
Tobin, the way I look at it, like, you can either be a guy that'll pick up an iguana or you can't. You see an iguana and you're going to go pick it up because you're a man. Like, you're a man's man. I see an iguana and I'm running away because I'm the complete opposite of a man's man. I feel like it's the same thing.
I saw a giant orange one today outside my yard, but it was right out the fence. And so Sunny Bunny, my dog, was like going to go after it. Man's man with a dog named Sunny Bunny. And I was like, damn it. I'm like, if that thing was on the other fence, we would have had that. Me and her, we would have pounced on it and gotten that one. I really love getting the orange ones.
You trained your dog to help you hunt iguanas.
Pretty much. It was a natural instinct. I think she's just got it in her, but yeah, she turns those things into pin cushions. It's a wild thing. There's too many of them, dude. It's ridiculous. All right, man. That is the news of the day. That is our Porpoise Pod, ladies and gents. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.